Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 141 of My 123 Cents, the podcast. This is Kevin. Thanks so much for making My 123 Cents a part of your podcast listening regimen. And also, I want to remind you about the other podcast here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. Chad has a brand new positive cynicism show up. It is all about the San Diego Comic-Con, so be sure to check that out. And then, of course, there are two other shows here, the Five Heart Podcast, which takes a closer look at Nebraska Cornhusker Athletics. Greg Mahochko is the host of that and the co-founder, by the way, of the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. Also, Greg hosts Nerds United, so he has all kinds of great nerd. I say nerd like it's a bad thing. It's not a bad thing at all, and Greg proves that with his show. So be sure, again, on the Jittery Monkey page, check it out, bookmark those shows, and listen to them when they drop. Lots of great stuff here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. So this week, I've got a Stride Pro Wrestling star, Cash Borden, as my guest, and we'll hear from Cash in just a little bit. He's actually wrestling this Saturday night for the Stride Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Championship. He will be facing Big Roger Mathis. We're going to talk more about Cash's career, what kind of got him to the ring. He has a very interesting story. I had never talked a whole lot to Cash backstage, so this was a nice opportunity to kind of catch up with him and find out what makes Cash Borden tick, and he has a great story to tell. Also, during the course of the interview, he plugged some things. One show he forgot to mention that he asked me to bring up is on September 15th. It is with Outlaw Wrestling, and he is going to be facing Jake Parnell and Ozzy Gallagher for the Gunslinger Championship. It is a big match, he says, for him. So I wish him the best of luck in that match, again, coming up on September 15th. But first, he's stepping through the ropes on August 5th and taking on Big Roger Mathis for the Stride Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Championship. So we'll hear more about that challenge coming up in just a few minutes. And speaking of Stride Pro Wrestling, I have lots of blogs and stuff coming up this week over at my123cents.com, building up to the Stride Pro Wrestling show. Of course, besides that championship match, there's going to be a number one contenders match where friends Heath Hatton and Jay Spade, they were the last two participants involved in that battle royal from our last show at the Illinois Star Center Mall in Marion. So, General Manager Sam Hunter said, I'm going to make it a match next time for a number one contendership. So whoever wins on August 5th will go on to face whomever the champion is, whether it's Cash Borden or Big Roger Mathis down the road. So it'll be interesting to see how that all pans out. I know that Maximum Overdrive, the tag team champions, will be in action. Farmer Billy Hills will be around. A returning J.D. Wilk. Yes, you heard it here first. J.D. Wilk will be stepping back into the Stride Pro Wrestling ring. I'm happy to hear that, and I'm happy to report that because Wilk had been injured, and it was looking like it would be the start of 2018 before we were going to be able to see him back in the ring. We look forward to him coming back and being a part of Stride Pro Wrestling. And speaking of independent wrestling around the area, Cape Championship Wrestling held a show over the weekend. It was their one-year anniversary show. I'm not going to give away the results or let you know what happened, but I do want you to check out the Fight TV app. You can download that and all of the shows. It's called Chaos. You can check out Cape Championship Wrestling, our friends over at the Podzilla 1985 podcast. They have several great shows. Check them out. They will be providing your color commentary and play-by-play action for the Cape Championship Wrestling guys, so be sure to check them out. And hopefully next week I'm going to have Dalton on to talk more about action figures. Lots of new figures released at the Comic-Con event in San Diego. So we'll talk a little more in depth about that as well here on My 123 Cents, because I'm a very novice action figure person, even though I have several from the LJN collection, a few Hasbro, and a few from the Jack Specific. And I guess now the Mattel, I only have maybe a couple from Mattel. So anyway, we'll talk hopefully more about action figures on next week's show. And at the end of the interview with Cash, I'm starting something new to the recommendation of Greg Mahochko. So Greg, thanks for the idea. Match of the week. So be sure to stick around for that. But now stay tuned for Cash Borden.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm. We'll be right back.
wrestling fans.
Are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo! As promised, my guest today is Cash Borden from Stride Pro Wrestling. That's where I met Cash. But Cash, you actually, number one, welcome to the show. But also, you have quite a history in indie wrestling. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about who is Cash Borden?
Yeah, I got started back in 2006. Me and a couple friends graduated high school and decided that's what we wanted to do with our lives. And we started training actually in Paris, Illinois. We trained down there for about a half a year. And then my trainer actually got paralyzed in a match that I was security for. It was right there in front of me. So that, you know, kind of made us all rethink about what we wanted to do with our lives. They actually have stopped wrestling since then. I'm the only one left out of the bunch. I trained with Christian Rose, Blake Reed, Alex Castle. They're still around doing their thing. After that, I mostly hit up seminars. Until I met Kojo Yamamoto Jr. and I started working for him in Metropolis. It wasn't the best place to work, but he always brought in good talent. Like, I wrestled Scott Hall down there, Coco Beware, Jerry Lynn.
Wow.
The rest goes on. Ricochet, Chuck Taylor. I had a lot of good matches down there. It wasn't a very good place to be known to wrestle for, but I was getting paid well and I was getting to wrestle people that I had always looked up to, so it was all good for me.
Well, yeah, I have two questions to follow up on that. And I've met Tojo a couple of times too, and I knew that he brought in some pretty big names. So let me start back from the beginning though. And when you witnessed that trainer get paralyzed in the ring, and you said that everyone else kind of in your group reassessed and walked away, what was it that made you determined to stay with it and keep going and now 11 years later continue to do it?
Oh man, it's just the passion for the sport. Like a lot of people look at it as entertainment. To me, it's still a sport. When I grew up, my grandpa was always watching NWA, wrestling at the Chase, stuff like that. So that was always a big influence on me. And then after I seen that happen, you know, I mean, accidents do happen in the ring all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it throughout my whole life, you know, the tragedy with Owen Hart, you know, things like that happen. It's just, it's a big risk you're taking. You got to be willing to take that risk.
I think sometimes fans or people, especially people who don't know the wrestling business, do take that for granted that, you know, even though you guys are trained and you get in there, there is that possibility for mistakes to happen and for injuries to happen. And in worst cases, as you mentioned, your trainer and, of course, the Owen Hart story. Talk to me about Metropolis and wrestling. You mentioned Scott Hall, Coco Beware. I mean, these were some big names back in, you know, both WWE Hall of Famers for that matter. What was it like? I would imagine that's a surreal experience, number one, getting in the ring in the first place. But then when you're in there with some of your childhood heroes, that's got to be amazing.
Right, it blows your mind. It definitely makes you step back and look at, you know, where you're at that moment. You get very nervous, to say the least. When I worked Jerry Lynn, he was the Ring of Honor champion at the time.
Oh, wow.
And that's all I wanted to do. That's all I ever wanted to make it to was somewhere big in the indies like that, like Ring of Honor, New Japan. Dragon Gate was real big at the time. I think that's Evolved Wrestling now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I went probably 20, 25 minutes with Jerry Lynn, and I had never been so blown up and puked piles after this match. And I realized that I needed to step my game up on training and everything then.
So what does training entail for you? Because you are one of those guys on the Stride roster. You've had some great matches with a tag team partner in Dalton Diamond, but also you've broken off into a singles with matches against the Legacy Champion, Tony Flood. You've had some matches against members of the DR Party, and you're actually getting ready to face Big Roger Mathis, who is the Stride Pro Wrestling Champion. So How do you train and prepare for these varying opponents of different sizes and different experience levels?
Right. See, that's one good thing about, I don't know, like ever since I've started, I've been able to adapt to the person that I'm working. You know, whether I'm in there with Joey O'Reilly, you know, I'll fly with the best of them. If I'm in there with Bull Bronson, I'll step in, I'll scrap it out with you until one of us is left standing, you know. The same is going to be with me and Roger. Like, I have taken off probably 2 weeks of wrestling just to get ready for this match with him. Just working on cardio alone. That's a big part of training for wrestling is cardio. I mean, you want to be able to make sure you're going to be in there and not gassed and puking all over the place 5 minutes in, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So adaptability is probably one of your strongest traits, would you say? Talk to me a little bit, too, about the relationship with Dalton Diamond. You guys came in together to Stride Pro Wrestling and had some good matches. I remember Madman Pondo and Bull Bronson coming in, and actually you guys got in there, too, with Cowboy Bob Orton. What went wrong? What happened with that relationship that I do think that you have benefited the most from the split and pursuing a singles career? Do you like singles versus tag team?
Yeah, I mean, I've always preferred the singles career over tag team, my whole career, actually. I met Dalton probably, years ago. And then ever since then, the promoter that we worked for at the time, I think it was actually at iCall over in Anna, Illinois.
Uh-huh.
He had seen the way that we had both dressed to the ring, and he was like, oh, you guys would be good together as a team. And, you know, he let us run with finding the name and everything like that. And then we kind of just mixed our styles together and did the best we could with what we had. And, like, I never thought that that team would work at all, but it got over with every crowd we wrestled in front of. I mean, you just hit boys in the head. Our T-shirt sales were up, you know, off the charts. It was just crazy. I didn't think that it would ever get over, and it actually did.
So in addition to Stride Pro Wrestling, as we've mentioned, that you're a part of, I'm looking at a list of other places you've wrestled, and IWA Unlimited, I know a little bit about that group, and then, of course, IWA Mid-South. Kaiju Big Battle, I've seen their stuff online, but what kind of experiences did you have with Kaiju Big Battle?
Kaiju Big Battle was actually amazing, man. It was awesome. Dalton Diamond was with me. Frank Wyatt, Colin Delaney, Mikey McFinnigan, and I believe that was that for that year. But it was at the Gathering of the Juggalos.
Okay.
They host a big festival every year, yeah, and they got wrestling on there. And it was insane, man.
Yeah, I've seen the videos, and I've actually, because I work kind of in the middle of the night, so the wrestling action when it used to be out at Hog Rock always seemed to happen when I was, or at Cave and Rock, I guess it was always going on when I was at work. So I never had a chance to go down there, but it looked chaotic. Was it as kind of talk to me about the atmosphere, the crowd. I mean, were you ever, did you ever feel nervous or afraid? Because, you know, the videos sometimes tell a story and then you hear the stories, but unless you're really actually there, I guess you really can't judge it. So what was that experience like wrestling with JCW?
At the Gathering, it is absolutely terrifying. All right, Tech N9ne had opened right before we had wrestled, so there's 15,000 people there.
Wow.
And then during the Kaiju Big Battle thing, you know, we're dressed up in these costumes, there's different monsters and stuff like that, and there's a whole city out in the ring that you have to destroy, and you got your good guys and your bad guys. They kind of run it like a luchador type thing, but from the future, outer space. Like, I was Uebuzu, which was a sea urchin, and I wrestled Dusto Bunny, which was a huge dusty bunny.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and I mean, it is nuts. You can't see nothing with these masks on. You have to portray this character still while you're in the scene, so you're bouncing around. It's like 100 degrees, it's outside, you got these hot lights steaming down on you, you got people throwing beer and all kinds of stuff at you. You're trying to destroy a city while fighting a match. I mean, it's just insane.
Is there video of this online somewhere? I've got to find this.
There is actually a highlight video of the year that it was. Somebody had went through and took video of it all. I believe me and Dusto Bunny was like the main focus though on the video.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I've seen a video of Kaiju Big Battle, but I've never been to it live. So what I'm you said 15,000 people. I would imagine that's probably the biggest crowd you've wrestled in front of.
I actually worked for JCW over in St. Louis, too. That was at Pops Nightclub, and there was a good probably, I'd say 5,000 there. It was Cottonmouth Kings, ICP, and Coolio when the JCW opened up the show.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, so what's it like being in front of a crowd of those, you know, thousands versus then when you come to, you know, you mentioned iCall from a few years ago, and then Stride, where there may be a couple of dozen to a couple of hundred people in the crowd. Do you change anything up, or are you in there? You seem to me like you've got the spirit where you wouldn't care if you're wrestling in front of 10 people or 10,000 people. You're going to give it your all.
That's exactly right, Kevin. I mean, my whole goal when I step through that curtain is, no matter if I'm the first match on the card or the last match, whenever the people leave, they're going to remember me no matter what.
And you have a big fan base. I know that there are fans that travel to Marion, Illinois to see you get into the ring. Is that a humbling experience? Talk to me a little bit about, you know, the relationship with the fans and how that has come about through the years as well.
Oh, yeah, that's real cool, man. Like, ever since I started working down there at IWA Unlimited, I got a huge fan following. There's probably about 10 to 15 fans that just travel all over every place that I go. I've seen them down in Tennessee, down in Mount Vernon, Illinois, to Centralia, Illinois. Like, it's insane. They travel a good 5+ hours to get to the show that I'm working on. I mean, it's very cool, and I appreciate it very much.
I always ask when I have indie guys on the podcast, I ask them two things. One is, and we kind of talked about it a little bit, but obviously there's a risk involved when you step into the ring. Then all the travel you do, you've mentioned St. Louis and Mount Vernon and Anna and Marion. So you're on the road, you're traveling. You know, I know that sometimes the indie shows, indie stars, they're not getting paid a whole lot. So what is it about the business, the sport, that brings you back week in and week out, that you're on the road, spending time away from family and friends and spending a Saturday night, getting in there and wrestling?
It's just the drive, the will to want to do it. I used to say, you know, back in high school before I even started wrestling, and they asked me, you know, what do you want to do with your life? My biggest answer was I just wanted to be a world champion of something. And, you know, I always mentioned about becoming a pro wrestler. My father had actually taken me to see In Your House, Bad Blood, in 1997. It was Shawn and Undertaker in the first Hell in a Cell match.
I was there too. And, that's awesome.
Yeah, from that moment on, just seeing the way that the crowd threw stuff at Shawn and, you know, how much he was hated but loved at the same time. Like, I remember getting a Austin 316 shirt that night and begging my dad to take it back and trade it for a Shawn Michaels shirt. And I just remember him saying, "No, you're not going to be like him." And I was like, "Bet, Dad, bet me."
That's awesome. So what?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big. That's that right there. That memory alone, man, that just drives me to compete all over, everywhere I can. And like I said, I still think of this as a sport more than entertainment.
So did you do a lot of athletics growing up and in high school, or because you do have a knack for this, obviously?
I played, like, baseball and basketball, you know. I was real cocky and a showman in that whenever I did so. I mean, I was never really good at it, you know, but I did it, you know, for the fun of it pretty much.
Well, and I know, you know, being a young athlete, it does take, you know, you have to have, obviously, patience and perseverance. So did those experiences then help you once you did transition into the wrestling ring?
Yeah, I'd say just for, like, from performing to people, you know, just in that aspect, it helped out a lot.
And my other question that I normally ask indie guys is, do you have aspirations to go nationally or internationally, whether it be WWE or now Global Force Wrestling, Ring of Honor? Do you have any dreams or goals of hitting the quote-unquote big leagues?
Right. See, when I first started, all I ever wanted to do was just be a top indie wrestler. Nowadays, things have changed drastically. I mean, yeah, that is NXT, stuff like that. That is right now, that's the ultimate goal for every indie star out there. And if it's not, you shouldn't really even be in the business.
Well said. So what do you see down the road for you? I know that you are working with Collar and Elbow as well. So talk a little bit about that relationship and explain to listeners how that works.
Yeah, I had messaged them on Facebook asking if they were still taking applications for sponsorships, and they messaged me back instantly with the app. I filled it out, sent it in, and I was instantly over with them. We got everything rolling, and then, you know, just a couple weeks ago, everybody found out that Al Snow was the runner of the company, which blew everybody's mind away. I mean, that is awesome.
Yeah.
I've been working with Strong Style Brand as well. I'm working with Ascend Independent Wrestling as well. We should have promo codes coming out soon for those two companies. For Collar and Elbow right now, my promo code is CASH if you want to save a little money on your t-shirt items or hats or anything like that.
So is it Collar and Elbow merchandise, or is it Cash Borden merchandise that fans can pick up, or do they just use your code to get a discount and then you get a shout out or something back from?
Yeah, they help promote me and stuff like that. Whenever you use my promo code, it also helps them see how many people are out there wanting my product. So if say 12, 13 people use that promo code and get t-shirts, that way they're going to put out a Cash Borden t-shirt, you know.
Gotcha.
Things like that.
Gotcha. All right, well, how can fans check this out? They just go to Collar and Elbow's website and then use that promo code CASH?
Yep, collarxelbow.com, or you can check them out on Facebook, collarxelbow.
All righty, and I'll have a link to that in the write-up on jitterymonkey.com. CASH, is there any other things coming up for you in the future? I know you've got Big Roger Mathis coming up. How does this title opportunity change your perspective, or does it? Because like you said, you don't care if you're in the opening match or the main event, you're going to give it your all. And I know you've been in there with some of the very best in Stride Pro. Now you're getting that big opportunity at the heavyweight championship.
Right. See, and the whole thing here is that behind having this championship match, okay, if I win, there's big stakes that come out of that. Like, I can take it easy when I walk through that curtain. I don't have to go out there and give it a mile. I'm still willing to do it. I'm not saying that I'm not going to, but I'm just saying if I was to beat Roger and take that belt, there's a big weight lifted off my shoulders to not have to show that I am the best here, you know, because I already have this belt on my shoulder to prove it.
Very well said. Any other events or big things coming up that you'd like to get out there for our listeners today?
Right now, we are currently... me and a couple other guys at IWA Unlimited have been working down for NWA Mid-South in Fredericksburg, Tennessee. And we got a couple shows coming up for them. That's every Saturday. They got a couple guys actually coming down to on Tuesdays at IWA Unlimited. So we got something kind of cool going on with the NWA and IWA Unlimited with that. Well, I got a couple of shows for Strictly Insane Pro Wrestling coming up. I think the first one is a outside show, and it's a benefit show, fundraiser for, I'm not really sure. I know that sounds bad, but I know that every match that night is a Fall Count Anywhere, no DQ, and I have Kyle Pfeiffer, so it should be a decent match.
Yeah, I remember Kyle from some of our previous Stride shows. Well, Cash Borden, we will have all the information on how you can see him and how you can get hooked up with Collar and Elbow. Thanks so much for spending some time here on My 123 Cents. Anything else you want to add before we say goodbye today?
No, well, I think that's good, man.
All righty. Thank you, Cash Borden, again, for being a part of that interview. Thank you all for sticking around and listening to it. Cash, again, will be in action August 5th right here, Stride Pro Wrestling in Marion, Illinois. And again, September 15th. I'll have all the information up on the Jittery Monkey write-up here on jitterymonkey.com, as well as on iTunes, as he is wrestling with Outlaw Wrestling and will be going up for the Gunslinger Championship against Jake Parnell and Ozzy Gallagher. So I mentioned earlier in the intro that I'd be doing a match of the week, so kind of a this week in history, if you will. It's not necessarily a match that happened this particular week, but it's more of a historical thing. And I'm going back to August 3rd, 1997. It is SummerSlam, and everybody talks about the Steve Austin Owen Hart match for obvious reasons, and everybody talks about the Undertaker Bret Hart match because that's kind of where Undertaker got screwed over by Shawn Michaels, which set up a great feud with Shawn Michaels, by the way. But I'm going to talk about Mankind versus Triple H, or I guess at that time he was still Hunter Hearst Helmsley. It was held inside the Big Blue Steel Cage match, and there's just something about that match. I went back and rewatched it to talk more about it, and maybe it's the nostalgia talking, but I miss that time in wrestling. It just seemed, you know, I've always been an 80s guy, but there was something about this feud in particular, and I think the fact that you're able to go back and watch it now, 20 years later, and see where both Hunter Hearst Helmsley, Triple H, and Mankind evolved from. You know, obviously, both had wrestled in WCW. They both came into the WWF. I guess Hunter got there about a year or so earlier, and then kind of the courses that their careers took. And this was a time, too, I had kind of forgotten about this, that Mick Foley was not only wrestling as Mankind, he was Dude Love and was a co-holder of the tag team championships with Stone Cold Steve Austin at the time. So it was a great time in wrestling. Mankind, Mick Foley, Dude Love, Cactus Jack, whatever you want to call him, he could always tell a great story and, you know, put his body on the line. That cage became a weapon, and they both used it to their advantage. Of course, it all comes to an end when China tries to interfere, instead ends up costing, I don't know if it costs, but Triple H ends up getting slingshot into China, the DDT onto the chair. And then when Mankind goes over the top of the cage and he's ready to jump and leap to the ground, he says, no. Takes the mask off, scales back up to the top, and jumps off of it, drops an elbow onto Hunter, reminiscent of Superfly Jimmy Snuka, as I kind of thought Macho Man Randy Savage with the elbow drop, but of course he was working for WCW at the time, so they were not going to mention that. But obviously Snuka was Foley's hero, and Snuka did a similar with the Superfly leap, though, onto Don Morocco, the Magnificent Morocco, as they fought in the steel cage for the championship too. So the Intercontinental Championship, that is. But that's my pick, first pick for Match of the Week. If you have ideas or suggestions for Match of the Week, let me know. If you have guest ideas, also let me know. Hit me up on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. I'm everywhere, so let's talk, let's communicate, and make my 1-2-3 cents a better experience for everyone involved. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.